Numbers chapter 2. And the Lord spake unto Moses and unto Aaron, saying, Every man of the children of Israel shall pitch by his own standard with the ensign of their father's house. Far off about the tabernacle of the congregation shall they pitch. This was the camping arrangement in the wilderness. This is how the tribes were to encamp, with the tabernacle or the tent of meeting in the center where the presence of God dwelt, and then the tribes arrayed around it. And every time they moved, they would reset the camp, and they would reset it the same way. And on the east side, toward the rising of the sun, shall they of the standard of the camp of Judah pitch throughout their armies. And Nashon, the son of Amminadab, shall be captain of the children of Judah. And his host and those that were numbered of them were 74,600. The tribe of Judah was the largest of the 12 tribes at this time. And those that do pitch next unto him shall be the tribe of Issachar. And Nathanael, the son of Nuar, shall be the captain of the children of Issachar. And his host and those that were numbered thereof were 54,400. Then the tribe of Zebulun, and Eliab, the son of Helon, shall be the captain of the children of Zebulun. And his host and those that were numbered thereof were 57,400. All that were numbered in the camp of Judah were 100,000, 80,000, and 6,400 throughout their armies. These shall first set forth. These shall first set forth. Now turn to Numbers chapter 10. And look with me at verse 11. And it came to pass on the 20th day of the second month in the second year that the cloud was taken up from off the tabernacle of the testimony. And the children of Israel took their journeys out of the wilderness of Sinai, and the cloud rested in the wilderness of Paran. And they first took their journey according to the commandment of the Lord by the hand of Moses. In the first place went the standard of the camp of the children of Judah, according to their armies, and over his host was Nashon, the son of Amminadab. And so here we see Moses' instruction was that Judah should pitch first on the east, and that when they moved, Judah would be the first one to pack up stuff and go. It would be Judah that would set out first. Now turn to Judges chapter 1 and look with me in the first couple of verses here. Judges 1 verses 1 and 2. Now after the death of Joshua, it came to pass that the children of Israel asked the Lord, saying, Who shall go up for us against the Canaanites first to fight against them? Guess who? And the Lord said, Judah shall go up. Behold, I have delivered the land into his hand. And so here we see that When the children of Israel were delivered out of their Egyptian slavery, it was Judah, the tribe of Judah, of all of the 12 tribes, that God had ordained to be the first one to set camp. It was Judah, out of all of the 12 tribes, that was to take the lead in the procession when the cloud moved. It was Judah that was to follow the cloud, the presence of God, and lead the people out. When they came into the promised land and had begun to take over the land, when the children of Israel were going to wage war, the question was, who's going to lead us? Who's going to go first? And the answer was from the Lord, it will be Judah. He's always been first. He's the one who was first to camp. He was the one to first break the camp. He was the one to lead the procession as we moved into the wilderness and through the wilderness. And in the fighting, he will also be first. Now, there's some great significance behind this, obviously, and this won't be new to many of us, I think to most of us, but it was something that I felt that the Lord wanted to remind us about. And that is the significance of why Judah? Why of all the tribes? Why was it that from the tribe of Judah came David? Why was it that from the tribe of Judah came our Savior? In fact, in the book of Hebrews, in 7:14, it says, "For it is evident that our Lord sprang out of Judah, of which tribe Moses spoke nothing concerning the priesthood." All of the priests came from the tribe of Levi. But yet our great high priest came from the tribe of Judah. Why? Why is it that in Revelation 5:5 that he is referred to as the Lion of Judah from the root of David? And the key is obviously in the meaning of his name. And we find that in Genesis 29 when at the birth of Judah, who was the fourth son of Leah, Jacob's first wife, verse number 35, Genesis 29:35, it says, "And she," that is Leah, "conceived again and bare a son, and she said, Now will I praise the Lord." Therefore, she called his name Judah. And that was the end of her childbearing. The word Judah, the name Judah, means God be praised, or it means praise the Lord. And she named her son Praise the Lord. Because, I mean, can you imagine that? Praise the Lord. That's what it means in Hebrew. Praise the Lord. Because of her rejoicing for having borne her husband this fourth son. Now, with that in mind, we begin to see why God established Judah as first in everything of all of the tribes. And in his establishing Judah first in marching after the presence of the Lord, first in going out to wage war. I find it interesting that when I was thinking about Jesus coming from the tribe of Judah, and as I was reading some of the references on that subject, and I kept coming across the name of David as coming from the tribe of Judah. And of course, David is the great praiser. He is the great author of the Psalms, the one who had the heart after God's own heart, the constant praiser. And then Psalm 76 is a very, I think, a significant verse right there at the beginning. In Judah is God known. In Judah is God known. Well, what's the matter? Is Levi chopped liver? You know, or Reuben or Issachar? No, this is not talking about the tribe of Judah, although it could reference Jesus as coming from the tribe of Judah, the Lion of Judah, and so on. And in knowing Jesus, we know the Lord. But I think there's something else here. In praise is God known. One of the things that struck me when I first was born again, the most important thing in my life became praise. I just wanted to praise him all the time. And when I talked to others there at that time, there were lots of people in my sphere that were becoming born again, that were coming to know the Lord. And that one thing, that one thread ran through everybody's experience, was this desire to praise the Lord. Not just to sing His praises, although certainly that is a part of it, but praise became a very important, it was not like church up until that time was you sing three hymns, but you spread them out. And, you know, it could get boring if you sing them all together. So you spread them out and you throw a prayer in there and a sermon in there and a ritual of fellowship and a Bible reading, a scripture and some stuff, and you kind of mix it up so that you have some variety in there, because nobody could ever stand up and sing three hymns, all four verses, right straight through, because it's just too long a time to be doing any one thing. But when you really, when you begin to get into praise and begin to understand the significance of it, when you really enter into true praise, time means nothing. Time just stands still. And I don't, this is a personal opinion on my part. It has, in a sense, it has this Psalm 76:1 as a reference, but I go a little further than that in my own personal convictions. I don't believe we can truly know Him without a heart for praise. I'm not talking about a heart for singing. Mm-mm. I know lots of people who love the Lord deeply who can't sing a note. But they can holler, praise the Lord. They can shout, hallelujah. They can shout, the Lord God Almighty reigns. Praise oftentimes and most times is expressed in music, but not always. Music is not the only way in which praise can be. But in praise is God known. It's in praise that we really come to develop a relationship with Him, because the Psalms tell us, I believe Psalm 22, that the Lord inhabits or dwells in or lives in the praises of His people. And then jump over to Psalm 98. I remember years ago when the Lord showed me this, what an impression it made upon me. I haven't thought about it in quite a while, but it sure struck me at that time. Psalm 78, and I'm going to read two verses. 78. Did I say 98? I'm sorry. Psalm 78. Psalm 78, verse 67. Moreover, He refused the tabernacle of Joseph and chose not the tribe of Ephraim. But He chose the tribe of Judah, the Mount Zion, which He loved. Now, using the structure that we've established here, that names mean things. And particularly Bible names and Hebrew names mean things. If Judah means praise, it says God chose praise. He chose praise over what? It says He refused Joseph, refused Ephraim, and chose instead Judah, or praise. The name Joseph means add or increase, means gain. The name Ephraim means fruitfulness, or technically double fruit. Now, what this says to me is that it's kind of like it's a works versus love sort of thing here. Most Christians believe that the way that we draw close to the Lord is by working for Him, by making sure that we increase the kingdom of God, that we get gain for the kingdom of God, that we are fruitful in terms of growing the kingdom. Generally, that means growing the church. It means adding increase to the church. Typically, that's the way people think. But that's not the way God thinks, although that certainly is an objective of His. But it's not the primary one. He refused increase. He chose not fruitfulness, but rather His love and His affection and His choice fell upon praise. And so if you're going to put these in a priority of sorts, praise is number one. And it is number one for all believers in terms of our relationship with Him. Our relationship with one another is love one another, obviously. But our relationship with Him, that love relationship with Him, must sponsor praise if it is going to be an appropriate relationship. And that's why David says in Psalm 34, you might turn there with me if you like, Psalm 34, David, who is the great praiser, next to Jesus, I see him as the ultimate biblical praiser. Psalm 34, verse 1, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. At all times I will praise Him. His praise will always be in my mouth. We have a song that we sing out of that verse. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. And then we sing all the way down to verse 4. But the thought here is, what strikes me from it, is not just at all times and the continual nature of it, but the I will part of it. Whether in good times or in bad, we are to send Judah first. Whether we are in good times following the presence of the Lord, or whether we are in hard times fighting spiritual battles, we are to send Judah first. We're to send the praise forth first. One of the most magnificent stories, we won't take the time to go to it today because I know you're all familiar with it, is from 2 Chronicles chapter 20, where King Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, was troubled with the appearance of a multitude of nation army that had confederated against him. And he stands before the Lord and he said, Lord, we're in deep trouble here. We don't know what to do. And the Lord anoints one of the prophets and says to him, here's what you do. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. You shall not have to fight in this battle. And Joshua gets the choir together and he sends the praisers out against the army. And the praisers begin to sing, for the Lord is good, His mercy endures forever. 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 And as they are singing and praising the Lord, a spirit of confusion falls upon the enemy army and they begin to kill each other. And if I remember the story correctly, it took the Israelites 7 days to clean up the plunder off the battlefield, all the riches and so on that they left behind when they fled and off the dead bodies. Now, today, would you stand with me, please? I'm not sure you're really in a praising mood today, but some of you are. And here's an old song that we used to sing when the Lord brought us this revelation years ago. Send Judah first, and the battle will be won. Send Judah first, the foe is overcome. Giving praise to the Father, glory to the Son, send Judah first. Now, this is not just, Judah praise is not just for battling. I mean, it's an important factor in battling, but it's not necessarily the only place when praise can be used. Sing the song with me. Send Judah first, and the battle will be won. Send Judah first, and the foe is overcome. Giving praise to the Father, glory to the Son.
Send Judah first. Send Judah first. And the battle will be won. Send Judah first. And the foe is overcome. Giving praise to the Father. Glory to the Son. Send Judah first.
Whoso offereth praise glorifieth me. It has nothing to, the motivation for praise is not necessarily to bring profit to us, although it does. But the purpose for praise is to honor him. That's what praise is. To praise, if I were to praise one of you, it's not designed to bring benefit to me. We honored Barbara this morning. That was not designed to bring honor to the Pregnancy Resource Center or me. It's designed to glorify Barbara. Whoso offereth praise glorifies the Lord. And to him who orders his conversation aright, or in other words, his lifestyle, I'll show him my salvation. I will show him the benefits that come. The song is from Psalm 50 and verse 23, and it goes like this.
Whoso offereth praise glorifieth me. Whoso offereth praise glorifieth me. And to him that ordereth his conversation aright, will I show the salvation of God.
Let's sing it again.
Whoso offereth praise glorifieth me. Whoso offereth praise glorifieth me. And to him that ordereth his conversation aright, will I show the salvation of God.
Put on the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness.
Lift up your voice to God. Praise with the spirit and with understanding. Oh, magnify the Lord.
Put on the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness.
Lift up your voice to God. Praise with the spirit and with understanding. Oh, magnify the Lord.
Now let's put the first one on. Okay, remember, this is what I want you to remember from today.
Send Judah first, and the battle will be won. Send Judah first, and the foe is overcome. Giving praise to the Father and glory to the Son. Send Judah first.
Now what might be the first thing in the morning then that somebody might want to do? Send Judah. Oh, praise you, Lord. Praise you. You don't have to sing a song, but oh, bless you, Lord. I magnify you this new day, Lord. Praise your name, Jesus. Send Judah first. In every situation, send Judah first. Lord, thank you for the power of praise. Thank you for just reminding us of that this morning. Thank you for allowing us to minister to Phil and to his friend by laying hands on him in proxy. Thank you for Barbara, Lord, and for Anita, whom we've been able to recognize today. But thank you, Lord, for each and every one who is actively engaged in the work of ministry. Ministry to one another, ministry to the world at large, ministry to you in praise. In Jesus' name.